I'm Joe Morgenstern, the film critic of The Wall Street Journal. 2012 is Roland Emmerich's latest assault on planet Earth and its moviegoers, and it isn't the end of the world, it only feels that way. This oafish epic about the end of days, as predicted by the Mayan calendar, operates in a dead zone roughly equidistant between parody and idiocy. You do get the connection between tongue-in-cheek, but much of the humor still goes thud. A few action sequences rise to the challenge of the subject, but many of the digital effects look murky and the cumulative effect is numbness. The only character with any energy, however grotesque, is Charlie Frost, a crackpot prophet, conspiracy theorist, and pirate radio broadcaster played by Woody Harrelson. He provides a few jolts of rapture schlock before the movie turns into destructo dreck. In Independence Day, Emmerich tested us with marauding aliens, and the day after tomorrow, he unleashed global warming that precipitated global freezing. This time, his cosmic weapon of choice is a beam of mutant neutrinos that emanates from the sun and destabilizes tectonic plates, defeats coherence, and degrades dialogue. Charlie Frost suspects that the nations of the world are building a fleet of spaceships that will save the rich and powerful before our planet goes the way of Krypton. To get a seat, the old geezer says, you'd have to be Bill Gates or Rupert Murdoch or some Russian billionaire. Of the three, only a particularly obnoxious Russian billionaire has a confirmed reservation. The White House has kept a lid of secrecy on the existence of the ships, which aren't really what Charlie suspects. But the president's chief science advisor uncovers the truth. Once he does, though, the advisor, like his boss, seems fairly indifferent to the venture's ethical aspects. The president finally wonders aloud if seats on the ships should have been offered in a lottery. That sounds like a plan, except for leaving 6 or 7 billion passengers waitlisted. The script is so scatterbrained that no one ever seems to understand anything in real time. It's as if all reactions are on 30-minute delay. And 2012 has no discernible attitude toward the end of civilization apart from the belief that there's a movie in it. The cast includes John Cusack, Amanda Peet, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Danny Glover, Oliver Platt, and Tandy Newton. Among the points of interest, either damaged, disturbed, or destroyed, are Las Vegas, the Vatican, the Himalayas, the South Pole, relocated to Wisconsin, the Washington Monument, much of Wyoming, and all of California. For once, Manhattan meets its fate offstage. Pirate radio follows the form, when it chooses to follow any form, of a cat-and-mouse game between the British government, circa 1966, and a crew of DJs beaming round-the-clock rock and roll from a decrepit tanker anchored in the North Sea just outside Britain's territorial waters. At the time, BBC Radio barely acknowledged rock's existence. Richard Curtis's comedy is anchored only in exuberance, but that's more than you can say for most movies these days. It keeps you beaming with pleasure. The movie has its flaws, but they don't matter very much when they're measured against its marvelous music and terrific performances. Philip Seymour Hoffman plays the only American DJ who calls himself the Count. And a looseness of form doesn't exclude a profusion of borrowings, from Pirates of the Caribbean through Mamma Mia and Titanic to the civilian flotilla of rescue vessels at Dunkirk. Pirate radio takes freely and gives generously. I'm Joe Morgenstern. I'll be back on KCRW next week with more reviews.